America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The U.S. continues to press the U.N. Security Council to fully lift economic sanctions against Iraq. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer says there's no longer any reason for sanctions.
Why should any nation support imposing sanctions on the Iraqi people now? Sanctions equal Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein is gone. It is wrong now to leave sanctions on the people of Iraq. They don't deserve it.
Surprisingly, one of the biggest critics of the war, France, came out in support of the U.S. position on sanctions, but other skeptical countries such as Germany are considering using sanctions as leverage to ensure a strong U.N. role in the reconstruction of Iraq. International arms inspectors have the best hope of finding Iraq's alleged banned weapons. That's the word today from Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix.
We may not be the only ones in the world who have credibility, but I think we do have credibility for being objective and independent.
Speaking to reporters at the UN, Blix blasted the Bush administration for what he referred to as an attempt to undermine his inspection team by claiming they withheld information from the 15-member Security Council about an Iraqi drone. Blix has insisted that it was not the case, adding that it was a bit unfair and it hurt us.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert, use as directed.
Scott Peterson walked several laps in an exercise area at the Stanislaus County, California jail this morning, one day after he pleaded not guilty to killing his wife Lacey and their unborn son. For his safety, Peterson's being kept in isolation in the jail because other prisoners have allegedly made threats against him. Prosecutors say they will ask a judge to hold Peterson without bail, and they say it could be a couple of years before the trial will conclude. Peterson dropped his attorney, saying he doesn't have enough money. He has asked for a public defender. About a dozen activists blasted the Bush administration in Washington, D.C. today for what they say is a terrible track record regarding the environment. Citing everything from clean air and water to wilderness protection, they claim the Bush administration favors big corporations over environmental protections. Gene Karpinski of the Public Interest Research Group explains.
It's time to tell the Bush administration to stop letting big corporations rewrite and weaken our environmental laws. They're polluting our air and our water. They're making taxpayers, not polluters, clean up our toxic waste. They're chopping down our national forests and destroying our public lands.
Some of the groups represented at today's event included the Sierra Club, Wilderness Society, and the League of Conservation Voters. It was held as the nation celebrates Earth Day.
There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills than Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain. Comparisons based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
Janitors were singing the blues today at a rally at the Blue Cross Blue Shield building in Washington. Valerie Long with the local chapter of Janitors for Justice says workers who clean that building do not have health insurance.
It's ironic that the Blue Cross Blue Shield building, those workers don't have health care. It's just like one of those ironies here that we want to make sure that comes to the public attention.
The labor union is in talks to extend workers' hours and provide health insurance, as well as raise the hourly wage. Long says the current labor contract is due to expire April 30th, and negotiations will continue right up to the deadline. She says while she hopes a strike can be averted, picketers are committed to aggressive demonstrations if a deal cannot be hammered out. Some positive reports on earnings sparked a rally on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 158 points to 8487. The S&P 500 climbed 19 points to 911. The NASDAQ jumped 27 points to 1451. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby. Charlie Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
In your swallowing war, life's lies.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, welcome to our new affiliates, and welcome, Truth Seekers, to day two of Malloy After Dark. This is the last time we'll say this, all right? You know, it's not going to be day three and then day four. For those of you who are just finding the program, if you've never heard Liberal Talk Radio before, it'll be okay. I know it's difficult to hear an actual opposing point of view on the radio, but you'll get used to it. We'll be gentle. And I'll say to new listeners what I've always said, you stick with this program for 2 weeks and you're hooked for life. We have some great sound for you today. So I want you to stick around as long as you can possibly stand it tonight. This is Earth Day. Well, kind of, sort of. First of all, April 22nd was never Earth Day. It was the original Earth Day in 1970 was the March equinox, spring equinox. But Earth Day, to celebrate Earth Day in this country, in this time, in this society, if you do it individually, if you are doing something to preserve the Earth on your own, God bless you for it. You know what I'm saying? Really. But as far as celebrating or acknowledging or even talking about something called Earth Day during the Bush era is to talk nonsense, gibberish, irony, stupidity. It's a non-existent subject. Now, just to clear the record, the original Earth Day was back in 1970, March 21st. It started in San Francisco. And the centerpiece was the March equinox, spring equinox, the moment spring begins in the Northern Hemisphere. And why was that date chosen? Well, because of its unique appeal to people of the Northern Hemisphere. Actually, its unique appeal to every creed and culture, because in the Southern Hemisphere, it is the fall equinox on that day. Here was a powerful natural event, the equinox, that could bring people together in heart and mind at a special moment and increase the determination to pursue peace, justice, and the care of the earth. Yeah, doesn't that sound quaint now, huh? 33 years later. We live in a country that created the very idea of national parks. Did you know that? As well as a myriad of environmental protections that were designed to make sure that we had access to clean air, clean water, decent food. The Bush administration, yeah, well, it took me, what, 2.5 minutes? The Bush administration is systematically dismantling all the laws put together over 33 years, Republican and Democratic administrations designed to protect the health of the environment and the health of Americans. Just taking them apart, one at a time. Now, the question asked by the essayist in the Denver Post today is, how can this unraveling of environmental rights and protections occur in this country while the Bush crime family claims to promote freedom and democracy abroad? Well, the question is sort of ridiculous, and no disrespect to the essayist. The Bush administration cares not a damn about democracy and rights and freedom abroad. That's just put out there to cover what the Bush crime family does. But it's this disconnect between Bush's rhetoric regarding the Middle East and his lack of efforts to protect citizens at home that has created another credibility gap, if you're paying attention. It's hard to pay attention to this stuff anymore. I understand. Bush is a liar. Everybody in his administration is a liar. As we've said on this program, they no longer try to spin or hide or obfuscate or toss out misinformation or disinformation or look the other way while I do this. It's just blatant, flat-out lies. If you take a look at recent policy changes brought about by the Bush crime family, you will see arrows pointing to the staggering and dangerous nature of the environmental rollbacks put in place by the Bush crime family. Air pollution. Just as some of the nation's oldest and dirtiest power plants were about to be forced to reduce the amounts of pollutants they emit, the Bush crime family let them off the hook with a deceiving little piece of legislation called the Clear Skies Initiative. See, it just total lies, total destruction of language. National forests? Well, in the name of healthy forests and fire prevention, the Bush crime family has proposed through the Bush Forest Service nearly unlimited clear-cutting of forests. That way, you see, there won't be any fires because there won't be any trees. How about clean water? You think that's a necessity? Leave the United States. Leave Europe, Western Europe. Travel any place else on the planet. Open a spigot and drink the water. Eh? Isn't clean water a necessity? Well, yeah. Yet the Bush crime family's EPA has announced plans to reduce the number of wetlands and waterways protected by the Clean Water Act. This came on the heels of an earlier announcement that would essentially overlook the immense water pollution problems caused by millions of tons of untreated pig feces being poured into our waterways and drinking water from the factory farms run by you-know-who. How about whales? Remember Save the Whales? Doesn't that seem quaint right now? Save the dolphins. Save the whales. They're not fish. They're big mammals. Save the whales. The Bush administration has proposed exemptions for the Department of Defense that will allow continued use of the Navy's new low-frequency sonar that can kill marine mammals by shattering their eardrums. Oh, never mind. We're worried about Iraqi children having their arms blown off. Who's going to worry about the eardrums of whales, right? Never mind. Homeland Security. The Bush administration has blocked efforts that would require thousands of chemical and nuclear plants to become more secure. No money. While Bush claims to worry about instability in the Middle East, and we know he doesn't because he couldn't find the Middle East on a map if somebody offered him an oil well. Huh? While he claims, though, to worry about instability in the Middle East, all measures to make the U.S. less dependent on oil, like increasing auto fuel efficiency or adhering to the Kyoto Protocol, everything stopped dead in its tracks by the Bush crime family. So, why aren't we all aware of this war being waged against the environment? Well, we are, aren't we? I am, you are, but why talk about it? Federal agencies with authority over environmental programs are working in a coordinated effort to help oil companies, coal companies, logging companies, mining companies, chemical companies, and auto companies to promote their short-term profits at the expense of our health and our public lands. But why talk about it? Huh? What difference does it make? There's some irony here, as there is in everything that the Bush crime family does. Bitter irony. The irony is that the patriotic language that the Bush crime family has used to wage war on another nation without provocation seems desperately out of place here at home. While our water, our food, our forest, our oceans, and yes, our whales are all at risk, right? But why talk about it? This administration is as interested in long-term preservation of this planet or this country to the same degree that they're seeking democracy and justice in Iraq. That's all we're going to say about Earth Day. Like I said, I can remember, when I first started in radio 16, 17 years ago. Ooh, it's Earth Day. Oh, God, we'd have all these people on talk about Earth Day, talk about, remember recycling? I know, some communities still do it. Remember solar panels on the White House that Carter put them there. I guess Reagan. As soon as Reagan came to office, he had them ripped out. Remember solar panels? I know there's some research going on, not government-funded, but private, ecologically-minded companies are still trying to resist the tide. You know, wind power and solar power and biomass power. But let's face it, folks, as long as the Bush crime family or anyone even remotely connected to them is in power in this country, this country and this planet, as far as its natural resources are concerned, are simply two entities there for the picking. That's all. Show me the money. Show me the profit. What does the pig man Limbaugh say? You know, you tree huggers, you bunny lovers, freaks. They're going to take away your SUV. Oh, my God. All right, we'll take one call on this. Pete's calling from New York City. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Going fine, sir.
Just one comment on the whole environmental thing. You know,
sure.
I've come to accept that the administration and that clan doesn't care. But what's so sad is the brainwashing of the public, the notion that environmentalist is a bad word.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't want clean air and clean water? And how can people be convinced that it's actually bad to want clean
air? I know.
How can people believe that?
I don't know. How can people believe that Bush was working against terrorism by invading Iraq?
Well, you got me there.
The answer, I think the quick answer, the fast answer, the sloppy answer is because we do not have a responsible media in this country. We do not have a responsible educational system, both of which could be educating adult and children, Americans, as to the necessity of keeping our own house in order and keeping the planet in order. It's a total failure. I don't expect anything from the Bush crime family, nothing except exploitation, profiteering, and crime. But the media in this country that could be doing so much, the educational system that could be doing so much, nah.
And the people who could be looking into it and at least finding some information on their own and not just buying it, you know, hook, line, and sinker.
I hear you.
Very sad, very sad. One more thing.
Sure.
I discovered you actually through Democratic Underground. Just want to let you know, everybody there is a huge fan of yours.
Great site. I love Democratic Underground. We usually have it up on the screen while we're doing the show. And watch what's being said.
Exactly. Right, well, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Pete. I hope you call again, pal.
I definitely will.
Thanks for checking in. All right, quick break here. When we come back, how to support the troops. We have a little story first, and then 10 ways you can support our troops. I know you've been wondering how to do this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. And I bet they're gonna ask me about man's insanity. You got a real nice planet here, but you better watch your atmosphere. And you better clean your waters up, or have none for your cup. We want to work cooperatively with these countries in their efforts to reduce greenhouse emissions.
At John Deere, we know there are people who'd love to own our lawn tractors, but ask themselves, am I really John Deere material? Am I committed enough to my yard? Am I worthy of taking my place on the signature yellow seat, the throne of the king of lawn tractors? To that we say, ease up, slugger. You don't have to love yard work to own a John Deere. You just have to love the ease and performance that comes with owning one. That's why we're introducing the 100 Series, lawn tractors that give you the reliability, durability, and precision of a John Deere. Starting at just $1,499. Yes, just $1,499. At that price, the question is not if you're worthy of taking your place on the throne of the king of lawn tractors. The question is, how soon can your reign begin? So go ahead, buy a new 100 Series. Nothing's stopping you, and nothing runs like a deer.
$14.99 based on MSRP. Tax, delivery, and setup not included. What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me
know. Yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Can explore for natural gas in Alaska without damaging the economy, the environment.
What a moron. What an absolute moron. Oh, my God.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes, and we do have some great sound for you tonight. Newt Gingrich on Colin Powell, Ari Fleischer on Newt Gingrich, and Rick Santorum's take on gays. You don't want to miss any of it. Randy is calling from Middletown, Connecticut. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you doing?
You figured out that the program is live now in Middletown, huh?
Yeah.
It's been the station up there has been carrying it, but in a delayed mode, I guess. And now we're live. Glad you called in.
Yeah, I'm glad you're on, and it's about time. get some liberal talk here.
Yeah.
No, I just was, you know, I felt like, you know, your opening bit here, you were, you know, what you were saying about the Bush crime family was true, but what really disappointing to me is how the Democrats have seemed to just go right along with it.
Yeah,
just, no opposition
just
or nothing.
Roll over and ask Karl Rove to scratch their collective bellies, and yeah, it's a shame. We used to have two parties in this country.
I used to have two senators that were Democrats in this state, and I feel like no more.
Yeah, well, it's not just Connecticut, my friend. The Democratic Party, as a functioning, viable political opposition party, has ceased to exist.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that.
Time to start looking for a third party. I know a lot of my hardcore Democrats, of which I'm one, just hate it when I get off on that that tangent. You know, I'll get 10 emails in here in the next 5 minutes say, Malloy, you got to support the Democrat, because if you don't, Bush will get reelected. Look, Bush is going to get reelected anyway.
Well, we supported the Democrats last time and they won. And
yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's like.
Right, right.
What are you going to do? You know, so to me, it's like, yeah, third party's the only way.
Well, in the meantime, just keep your powder dry, and don't forget, learn how to fire a weapon if you don't already know, okay?
Hey, right. Take it easy, then.
Thanks, Randy.
Yeah, have a good night.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Did you hear about the, who sent me this? Our Boston Bureau Chief sent this to me. Matthew. Four sticky-fingered GIs have been arrested for trying to steal nearly $1 million out of the $700 million in cold cash. It was found hidden on the grounds of several estates in Baghdad. That's according to the Army. Four enlisted men. They all belong to the 4th Battalion of the 64th Armored Division. My God, I think that's what our Boston Bureau Chief, he was a tanker. Is that your old division there, your old group, Matthew? Anyway, they all four faced court-martials, according to an Army spokesman. This mountain of loot was uncovered by U.S. forces last Friday, and apparently was left behind by the thugs who, the old thugs who ran Iraq. The new thugs are starting to be put in place, but the old thugs, they had rat-holed all this money, and they fled. Didn't have time to carry it, I guess. The money has been taken to the U.S.-controlled Baghdad airport for safekeeping and, according to officials, will be returned to the Iraqi people. Yeah, absolutely. $700 million, all be returned to the Iraqi people. One senior officer told the New York Post, you can understand how the greed factor took over with our boys. Really? Now, three of the arrested GIs, members of an engineering unit attached to the 4th Battalion, are accused of skimming $600,000 of the war booty. They stashed it in a tree near a cottage where they and other members of the unit discovered 37 steel boxes, each containing $4 million in $100 bills. Woo! Wasn't this a movie? Huh? What's his name? Three Kings. Wasn't this a movie? Yeah. Who is the, you know, the guy who used to be on George Clooney. God, I just can't do TV and movies. I'm sorry. The fourth busted GI is accused of swiping $300,000 and hiding it in a bag, in a cooler, and in the glove box of his cargo truck. And the officer doing the talking here said, you know, the glove box is the first place the MPs would look for wayward loot. $700 million, which is going to be returned to the Iraqi people. Indeed it will. Now, 10 ways you can support our troops. Of course, this story casts a whole different light on supporting the troops, right? When we come back.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand, that's how it's going down. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all.
Now for something completely different.
The Mike Malloy Show. Weekdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
It's the 11th hour for 28,000 New York City apartment service workers. Service Employees Union Local 32BJ has given the green light to a strike just after midnight tonight if no new contract is reached with a consortium of apartment managers whose buildings house a million New York residents. Union spokesperson John Hamill says that with just hours to go before a strike deadline, the gap between labor and management remains wide. The union's also looking to preserve its health care benefits and wants improved security training for apartment workers. Hamill says he's hopeful a strike can be averted, but not optimistic.
We've got 8 strike headquarters set up where they're fully staffed. We've got the signs. We've got the will. We've got people are motivated and aggravated, and they're going to be out there.
Hamill says support for the strike was nearly unanimous in an authorization vote held earlier this month.
Business leaders in the Philippines are lobbying the government to pass legislation banning unions from striking for 10 years. With an unemployment rate nearing 11% and a surge in strike activity this year, members of the Federation of Filipino-Chinese Chamber of Commerce say they cannot in good faith expand business in the Philippines unless they're guaranteed a controversy-free labor environment. In exchange for a 10-year ban on strikes, the Chamber of Commerce pledges to create 3 million new jobs, but it refuses to guarantee a living wage for any of them.
About 4,000 Lockheed Martin workers remain off the job as a strike at a Fort Worth, Texas aircraft plant stretches into its second week. The strike has halted production of F-16 fighters and other military aircraft after workers rejected Lockheed's proposal to increase employees' contributions to the cost of prescription drugs. Members of Machinists Union District Lodge 776 say they're ready to return to the bargaining table at a moment's notice.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. You know, now that we're all tired of the reality show called War on Iraq, huh? It's all over, isn't it? Didn't we all just max out on that 24/7 on every cable television network, and gosh, you'd go to ABC, CBS, NBC for the nightly news. Nothing but war. Well, aren't you glad it's over? That was longer than Survivor, wasn't it? It just seemed to go on and on. It's all over now. But we still have troops there, and there are 10 ways that you can support our troops. I'm going to give them to you. First of all, don't criticize the war, okay? Anyone who speaks out against war is putting our troops at risk. Now, there might have been a time and a place, citizen, for dissenting viewpoints, but those days are long gone. Don't worry about how much the rest of the world hates the United States. We're a superpower. We can do whatever the hell we want. Okay? Are you clear on that, sailor? Second, don't criticize the president. The illustrious Mr. Bush. Anyone who criticizes the president is against the troops. It is never right to criticize the president. Except for Bill Clinton, who is a lying rapist and a murdering pothead. Three, don't criticize the president's advisors. No one knows how to be more patriotic than former oil executives and arms dealers. So keep your tacky little uninformed opinions to yourself. Number four, where's your flag, citizen? Anyone who doesn't have an American flag on their house or car and or their lapel should be looked upon with suspicion and disdain. It's probably some kind of anti-American protest not to have that flag out there. Look for an opportunity to say or do something that will make these people feel uncomfortable and conspicuous. All right? All right. Five, don't look back. Don't insult America or our great president by drudging up ancient history.
Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein would have been nothing without the complicit help and support of the United States. Blah, 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 blah.
Nobody gives a rat's ass about that. Drop it, citizen. Boycott. That's number six. 10 ways you can support our troops. Boycott. Hollywood is a nest of pampered brats. Instead of spending your hard-earned dollars on a movie, donate it to the conservative cause of your choice. Our president, our illustrious leader, deserves to be surrounded by people who won't question his policies. And the media is run by a bunch of liberal subversives. If you still watch television, you can watch Fox. But other than that, just sports. You hear? If you want real American news, get it from talk radio. Oh, and by the way, boycott all companies that underwrite PBS. Bunch of commie, pinko, fag-loving. Number seven, go shopping. This is how, this is number seven, 10 ways you can support our troops. Go shopping. Don't worry about the economy. It'll take care of itself. Rich people just need a little more money. And they will fix anything by their vision and generosity. If they weren't better than you, citizen, they wouldn't be rich in the first place. Okay? Number eight, buy the biggest SUV you can find. Anyone who drives one of these little pansy-ass fuel-efficient cars is a sissy. And if foreigners think Americans are sissy, it puts our troops at risk. Liberating Iraqi oil was an expensive project, so don't insult them by not using your SUV. What number was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That was number eight. Number nine. The rest of you, take notice. All you blacks and Mexicans, just be grateful the Arab minority is taking the heat now. If you really want to do something constructive, become a Republican. Otherwise, keep quiet. You're probably listening to this program on a stolen computer anyway, so sit down, shut up. And last, love it or leave it. It's time to pour all you defeatist liberals a great big steaming cup of I told you so. If you don't like the way things are in the United States, cart your whiny ass someplace else. We understand they're taking applications for human shields in Syria now. By next month, it'll be Canada, so get the hell out of here. All right, 10 ways you can support the troops. Do we have any patriotic music? We don't have any patriotic music. What the hell's wrong with this program? Bunch of leftist commie producers out there. Well, there's only one. Support the troops, by God. They're out there fighting for your freedom, your justice, your American way of life. All right? Everybody got that straight? Good. If you missed some of the news today, the Bush crime family has finally made its long-expected move against Colin Powell. Happened today, huh? And in order to do it, they brought out the MOAB, the Massive Ordnance Atmospheric Bomb. Newt Gingrich, the wife-deserting, woman-abusing, draft-dodging, adulterous, ethically challenged thug from Georgia, Newt Gingrich, to do the dirty work. And poor old Colin Powell, let me tell you something, true seeker, today he got just what he deserved. Not because he's a bad Secretary of State necessarily, but because he sold his soul to the neocons who will never accept him as one of them. Now, there's a couple of reasons why the neoconservatives will never accept Colin Powell. First, he's a former military man. And they, the neoconservatives, hate the people who serve in uniform, even though they use them like so much cannon fodder and professional hitmen. They still hate them. Second, because Powell is not completely crazy to the degree that the neoconservatives, like Donald Rumsfeld, are crazy. And third, because he's an African American. and these bastards hate black people. Now, I hate to bring up the race card, but these are Republicans. Doubt me? Dash an email off to J.C. Watts, former congressman from Oklahoma, member of the Republican caucus, black man. What did J.C. Watts say when they were tired of using him? Damn! Man, these people play rough! And then he got out. So Karl Rove reaches into the crypt and exhumes this vampire, Newt Gingrich, tricks him up with a new haircut, new glasses, a free lunch at the American Enterprise Institute, and turns him loose on Colin Powell and the State Department. Now, this is good. This is fertile ground for Newt Gingrich. He is a destroyer. Newt Gingrich has zero respect for humanity in general and has never gotten over two things: the size of Bill Clinton's penis and the fact that he, Newt, has such a filthy personal history he could never have been president. Now, what did Gingrich say today? Well, after the Bush crime family did everything possible to undermine Colin Powell's half-witted and half-assed attempts to convince the rest of the world to attack Iraq, Gingrich accused the State Department of undermining the illustrious leader George Bush's foreign policy and denounced Colin Powell's plan to go to Syria as ludicrous. They sent Gingrich to the American Enterprise Institute today. The American Enterprise, yeah, that's what it's called. And Bush directed most of his hellfire at the State Department's Near East Bureau. That's the gang that controls the Middle East, or they think they do. Now, the American Enterprise Institute, which is one of these neo-fascist crypto-Nazi organizations, has helped fill major spots in the Bush crime family. That's where a lot of these thugs come from. So Gingrich was there sucking up lunch, and when it came his time to talk, he said, they, referring to the State Department's Near East Bureau, they have a constituency of Middle East governments deeply opposed to democracy in Iraq. Their instinct is to create a weakened Iraqi government that will not threaten its Syrian, Iranian, Saudi, and other dictatorial neighbors. Paul had, as for Paul's trip to Syria, Gingrich had some nasty things to say, which we'll let you hear in his own words here in just a second. Now, Gingrich said the U.S. military has created an opportunity to apply genuine economic, diplomatic, and political pressure against Syria. But instead of doing that, Gingrich says, this pansy-ass State Department is back at work pursuing policies that will clearly throw away all the fruits of our hard-won victory against the mighty forces of Saddam Hussein. Gingrich said the current Syrian dictatorship openly hosts 7 terrorist offices in downtown Damascus, is developing chemical weapons of mass destruction, nuclear bombs, and occupying Lebanon, transmitting weapons to Hezbollah. Now, Gingrich also accused Hans Blix and the weapons inspectors of everything short of treason. He said that among Gingrich's accusations of sustained diplomatic failure by Colin Powell were the focus on weapons inspections in pre-war Iraq, approving Hans Blix as chief UN inspector, in Gingrich's words, even though he was clearly opposed to war and determined to buy time. And Gingrich also faults the State Department for accepting the United Nations, the European Union, and Russia as partners in Middle East peacekeeping. Gingrich said, without bold, dramatic change at the State Department, the United States will soon find itself on the defensive everywhere. And that's dangerous. Now, you'll remember, in addition to being an adulterous, draft-dodging, woman-abusing, wife-deserting thug from Georgia, Gingrich also resigned as House Speaker in 1998 after it was found out that he violated the law on the use of tax-exempt funds. Who's the Nazi Klan guy from Louisiana that just got sentenced to prison for doing basically the same thing? Well, Gingrich also said the State Department had failed in his efforts to apply diplomatic pressure to persuade Iraq to disarm and comply with UN resolutions. It's incredible. But this is how the Bush crime family works. These sneaky bastards. I love it, though. This attack, by the way, was not leveled against Colin Powell necessarily. It was leveled against George Walker Bush. This is the way these slime balls operate. Now, let's hear Gingrich in his own words. Speaking at the American Enterprise Institute today on the huge diplomatic failures of Colin Powell.
The last 7 months have involved 6 months of diplomatic failure and 1 month of military success.
Yeah, you'd know about that.
The first days after military victory indicate the pattern of diplomatic failure is beginning once again and threatens to undo the effects of military victory. And that's why I chose to speak out at this time as strongly as I'm speaking.
Oh, well, bless your heart, Newt. America waits with abated breath to hear what you have to say. Now, Ari Fleischer... Well, at the press briefing today, gives the idea that Bush seems to think Powell's doing a good job of diplomacy vis-a-vis Iraq, which kind of contradicts what Newt just said. One of the crack White House press corps had a question for Ari. Ari, Newt Gingrich today characterized the buildup to the Gulf War and then the prosecution of it as 6 months of diplomatic failures followed by a month of military success. Ari, do you have a problem with that characterization? And what is it? And I have a follow-up to that, please.
The president viewed the diplomatic process as a very important process that allowed for the military success to take place. And the process the State Department followed and Secretary Powell led was the president's process.
Oh, really?
This is a process that the president decided on in his speech to the United Nations in September. And the fact of the matter is the State Department and Secretary Powell did an excellent job at ushering through that process. There were others who complicated the process in the Security Council that in no way is reflective of the State Department or what the president thinks about the State Department or Secretary Powell's superb efforts.
Oh, Ari, but that's not what Newty is saying. As a matter of fact, here's Newty again at the speech today blaming Powell's State Department for France's failure to back a U.S. use of force in Iraq.
As the State Department remained ineffective and incoherent, the French launched a worldwide campaign to undermine the American position and make the replacement of the Saddam dictatorship very difficult.
Woo.
This including twisting Turkish arms to block a vote in favor of the United States using Turkish soil to create a northern front, and the French appealing to other members of the Security Council to block a second resolution.
Yeah, those dirty damn French, huh, Newt? You know, I thought it was all Colin Powell's fault. You mean the French are in on this too? Colin Powell and the French? The French twisted Turkish arms? I thought that was because the Bush crime family wouldn't produce the $25 billion that Turkey wanted. Oh, I'm sorry, Newt. Once again, I'm misled by this finky, funky liberal news media. Here's Newt Gingrich on why Powell shouldn't visit Syria.
The concept of the American Secretary of State going to Damascus to meet with a terrorist-supporting, secret police-wielding dictator is ludicrous.
Yeah, not as ludicrous as a wife-deserting, woman-abusing, draft-dodging, adulterous, ethically-challenged thug from Georgia making a speech covered by all the networks, eh? But W doesn't agree with you. As a matter of fact, this is what W thinks of Powell's trip to Syria.
You know Secretary Powell will be going to visit with the Syrians.
But Newt just called it ludicrous, George! Damn! It was just an absolute attack of the stinging horseflies today. This is a first blood. You see, they got to get rid of Colin Powell for the reasons I laid out for you. And I, frankly, I hate to see somebody else's suffering, but where it concerns political suffering, yeah, I hope Colin Powell just twists slowly in the wind. Here's a guy who was complicit in sitting in the UN Security Council telling lies. So, Colin, buddy, when they bring Newt Gingrich out, pal, your days are numbered. More Newt in a moment.
Strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Henry David Thoreau's Walden. Brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
Day one, what a beautiful pond. I shall live here in a cabin and establish an intimate relationship with nature. Day two, filled with joy. Day three, joy. Day four, joyful. Geico saves me money and guarantees my claim repair. Day five, more joy, etc.
We can guarantee claim repairs for as long as you own your car. And you could save 15% on car insurance. Call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
How can I keep her safe when she always seems to be running away from me? It used to be so much easier to find solutions to her problems. Now, I don't even understand the questions, let alone have any answers.
The Girls and Boys Town National Hotline can help you find those answers. We've been working with teenagers for over 50 years and would like to share what we've learned about parenting. Call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3000.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
So Newt didn't stop with Powell's mishandling of the diplomatic efforts made to avert war in Iraq. Powell's now guilty, according to Newt Gingrich, of not building roads in Afghanistan. I understand Newt also holds Powell responsible for global warming and the new Bandana album.
As of 2 weeks ago, not 1 mile of road had been paved in Afghanistan. This is a stunning bureaucratic failure.
Yeah.
For a country whose genius with the Corps of Engineers or with the private sector could have paved all those roads in one summer, to not have paved 1 mile of road is an astonishing achievement of incompetence. This absolute failure of American entrepreneurial effort was a direct result of the State Department blocking the Corps of Engineers from being directly involved.
Woo! Now, Richard Boucher, the State Department spokesman, I beg your pardon, takes offense at that last statement.
Everybody knows you can't pave roads in Afghanistan. You can't put down asphalt in Afghanistan in the wintertime.
Well, apparently Newt doesn't know that, Richard. In conclusion, Mr. Gingrich.
America cannot lead the world with a broken instrument of diplomacy. America cannot lead the world in an age of democracy and 24-hour television with a broken instrument of international communications.
Yeah.
America cannot help develop a vibrant world of entrepreneurial progress where countries grow into safety, health, prosperity, and freedom for their people with a broken bureaucracy of red tape and excuses. The collapse of the State Department as an effective instrument puts all this at risk. We must learn the transforming lessons of the last 6 months and apply them to create a more effective State Department.
The collapse of the State Department. Ooh, Colin Powell, come on down. Aren't you a little bit pissed, bro? Aren't those fighting words, Colin, the collapse of the State Department? And those words just poured out of the mouth of a wife-deserting, woman-abusing, draft-dodging, adulterous, ethically challenged thug from Georgia, Newt Gingrich, who never got over the fact that Bill Clinton's wee-wee is apparently bigger than Newt's, and Newt just hates that. At the time Newt was busting up on Bill Clinton for having his little affair with Monica, Newt was doing somebody on the public payroll, a member of the House Agricultural Subcommittee. What was her name? He eventually married her. Oh, and by the way, it was David Duke, the name I was trying to think of, who went to prison for the same thing, essentially, that Newt Gingrich did, only Newt Gingrich didn't go to prison. He went to the American Enterprise Institute.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of the Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find the Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right. Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly three-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The United States is pressing the issue of lifting UN sanctions against Iraq. The UN ambassador to the United Nations notes that the situation in Iraq has dramatically changed since those sanctions were imposed. John Negroponte says Washington will work with skeptical countries to achieve the goal of removing the sanctions. Surprisingly, one of the biggest critics of the war, France, came out in support of the U.S. position on sanctions. When asked about the possible return of UN arms experts to Iraq, Negroponte stated in a somewhat matter-of-fact manner that the United States has assumed full responsibility of disarming Iraq. President Bush is backing Alan Greenspan for another term as chairman of the Federal Reserve. In a roundtable interview, the president said Greenspan should get another term. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer said the president's words speak for themselves, and he called those words a very strong endorsement.
The president views Chairman Greenspan as a very wise fiscal, a very wise monetary steward, that Chairman Greenspan has a very steady hand at the helm of monetary policies for our country.
The presidential comment appears to end speculation that Bush will seek new Fed leadership in the midst of the ongoing economic slump. Earlier this year, Greenspan angered congressional Republicans when he suggested that the U.S. economy does not need additional stimulus. The president wants to stimulate the economy with another aggressive round of tax cuts.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like...
Belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed. Or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a...
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
People flying from Grand Rapids, Michigan to Dallas on American Eagle early this morning made it, but not before a delay occurred because of an allegedly drunk man who boarded the flight, in this case, the pilot. Screeners at the Gerald R. Ford International Airport said they smelled alcohol in the pilot's breath and told security. Security then removed the man from the cockpit while another pilot was located. The Federal Aviation Administration's John Mumma says screeners aren't just looking for potential terrorists.
In the course of performing their duties, if they make other observations of anything that they have reason to believe might affect airline safety and or security, then they simply report it to those folks that are properly empowered to take whatever action is appropriate.
Authorities say the pilot registered a 0.12 on the breathalyzer, which is just over the legal drunk driving limit. Another pilot was found, and the aircraft took off an hour late. Two America West pilots were fired after failing breathalyzers in Florida last July. They were both charged with driving under the influence.
This May, Aleve invites you to join us in the fight against arthritis, the country's number one cause of disability. That's when Aleve will partner with the Arthritis Foundation to sponsor the annual Arthritis Walk. When you join the walk, you'll help Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation in their efforts to control, prevent, and cure this crippling disease that affects one in every three Americans. For more on the Arthritis Walk and Aleve's all-day arthritis relief, go to Aleve.com and join the team to fight arthritis. Use Aleve as directed.
Four postal employees who may have been exposed to a white powdery substance at a mail distribution center in Tacoma, Washington, are now at home. George Lynn reports.
The four employees
employees who had to go through decontamination have been released from St. Joseph's Medical Center. Fire Captain Jolene Davis says the white powdery substance is now going through analysis.
Four of the five tests that were done here on site have come back negative. And so there's no problem with those. We're still waiting for final results.
A total of 94 employees had to be evacuated from the facility. No one was hurt. The substance was discovered in the area where letters are stamped. At the Mail Distribution Center in Tacoma, Washington, I'm George Litt.
Some good earning reports sparked a rally on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones is up 158 points to 8487. The S&P 500 climbed 19 to 911. The NASDAQ jumped 27 points to 1451. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What did he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheel vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Can anybody out in Santa Fe hear us? KTRC in Santa Fe is one of the stations who carried the program via radio. If you are listening on KTRC, send me an email. All right, Newt Gingrich. One last thing, Newt, and then we're going to your calls. Today, Hans Blix, for the first time since the toppling of Saddam Hussein, figuratively and literally, Hans Blix, the chief UN weapons inspector, confronted the Bush crime family openly and accused the Bush crime family of lacking credibility in its efforts to hunt down Iraq's banned weapons. All of this happened at the UN, I believe. Blix derided by Washington for his failure to find the smoking gun that would have convinced the UN to give legal backing to the war, also accused Washington and the Brits of deliberately undermining his efforts before the war. He went on to warn the Security Council that only UN inspectors and not the teams being assembled by America would be able to provide an objective assessment of any materials that might be found in Iraq. And, of course, Blix spoke as the diplomatic bloodletting seen in the run-up to the attack on Iraq risked resurfacing with the first full discussion by the council on the next step in Iraq. Meantime, Ari Fleischer, the White House spokesgeek, said, "We are looking forward, not backward. Saddam Hussein's regime is gone, and we will need to reassess the framework design to disarm the regime, given the new facts on the ground." And then in kind of a smack across the face to Hans Blix, he said, "I think it's unfortunate if Hans Blix would anyway criticize the U.S. at this juncture. The U.S. is working with Iraqis to build a new country for them. Ooh,
and it's going to be so nice. You're going to have a postal service and a banking service and democracy, and everybody's going to be little happy Iraqis just running around doing Iraqi things. It's just going to be so nice. Peter King, a Republican congressman, flatly dismissed Hans Blix's claims, accusing him of manipulating evidence. How's that? Huh? Manipulating evidence. Hans Blix manipulated evidence. And then, of course, the unindicted war criminal and mass murderer John Negroponte, who is now the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, said,
For the time being and for the foreseeable future, we visualize that inspections as being a coalition activity. The coalition has assumed responsibility for disarming Iraq. Period. End of sentence. Hans Blix, please get in line to kiss my Negroponte ass. We are running the show now. The UN is irrelevant. John Negroponte, a man responsible, along with Elliot Abrams and John Poindexter and Otto Reich and the rest of these monsters, for the deaths of 500,000 people in Central America. David Duke goes to prison. These guys go to work for the Bush crime family. Wow. Bob is calling from Groton, Massachusetts. Hey, Bob.
Oh, hi. I must admit, I was just amazed at the spectacle of the bloodbath that Newt Gingrich is trying to impose on the State Department. Usually, isn't it the losers that are supposed to cast about trying to blame somebody?
Right. Well, this, you know, there's a second agenda here. Powell is a stand-in for this poor, miserable, dumbass George W. Bush. These attacks against Powell are the neocons, the real neo-Nazis. It's their attack on George W. Bush. Colin Powell is just the front man. He's the guy that they're accusing of all this stuff. But it's Bush that they're going after, because Bush, as stupid as he is, as much of a moron as he is, he's not quite as bloodthirsty and as demanding of American empire as the neoconservatives, of which Newt Gingrich is an integral part. And that's what this is. That's my opinion.
I must say, while I was on hold, I was thinking, you know, that it's Bush. Powell's failure is mostly due to Bush's lies.
Right.
I mean, he
exactly.
Just doesn't have much to work with.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why Richard Boucher, that little soundbite we had, Richard Boucher, after Newt says, well, they didn't build one road in Afghanistan. Boucher comes out and says, look, you can't build roads in Afghanistan in the winter. This is the Richard Pearl, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney. Remember, George Bush is only a heartbeat away from the presidency as long as Cheney's alive. That's what this is about. This is an attack on the Bush crime family, because the Bush crime family is greedy, they are vile, they are filthy, but they're not quite up to the level of the Richard Pearls, Paul Wolfowitz's, Newt Gingrich, that whole Defense Policy Board, American Enterprise, Project for a New American Century gang.
I wonder if Mike Rupert is right. He's written in some of his newsletters that he thinks that the real powers are getting dissatisfied with George.
I think Rupert is right on the money. Right on the money. If Bush had an IQ greater than, say, average room temperature, then he would be, you know, he would be leading the charge for more war, more destruction, more American hegemony, more American power around the world. But because he's so stupid, because he's just, you know, he does what Karl Rove tells him to do, and whoever whispers into his ear last is the one who gets their policies enacted. The Newt Gingriches and Wolfowitzes and Pearls and the rest of these people, hey, it's all moving too slowly. I think deep in their hearts, they just want to move Bush aside. They can't do that. So they take shots at Colin Powell, and those are warnings to Karl Rove. Karl, you better get your boy a little bit more hungry than he is.
Maybe he'll self-destruct.
One can hope, can't one? Thanks, Bob. Appreciate your call. The only thing that will bring these people down is hubris. The element from Greek tragedy. These people who through the machinations of power, the use of power, the abuse of power, who are brought down by their own hubris, eventually their own self referential attitudes, their own disdain for the rest of humanity. That's what eventually brings them down. The problem here, of course, is you have a claque within the U.S. government that is wielding tremendous power, unlike anything the old Greek playwrights ever had in mind when they talked about hubris. But that's the only thing. The Democrats are not going to bring them down. The media is not, are not going to bring them down. The American public, we are brain dead. We do nothing anymore. We're not going to bring them down. Who's going to bring down the Bush crime family? Well, if not Newt Gingrich and the neocons, and Bush is a useful idiot to these people. He can get out there for the photo ops. He can go to Boeing and talk about his jobs plan while 20,000 people get laid off of Boeing last year. He's a useful idiot to these people. He's perfect. Isn't that the title of Mona Charon's new book, Useful Idiots, this right-wing harpy who wrote a book about liberals? Useful idiots. George W. Bush, you look up useful idiot in the dictionary, you'll see his picture. It's there, George W. Bush. He's just not quite bloodthirsty enough for these people. Dennis is calling from Alpharetta, Georgia. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Good to hear you back on at night again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I used to listen to you way back when you were at WSB at night and stuff, around this time sometime.
Nighttime audiences are a lot more hell-raising.
Yeah, no, they're a lot better and stuff like that. And I think most of the people that would listen to you actually have jobs and work and stuff like that. It's not some guy sitting at a computer and having Rush on and things like that. It's somebody that actually works and then wants to think about what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But what I called about is Rove probably will basically tell these neocons to get lost because he knows that he needs Powell in the State Department because what Powell does is he smooths Bush's rough edges. You notice a lot of the poll numbers for Powell are a lot higher than any other in the administration. So I go to other website stuff, and I happen to have you on while I'm surfing these other websites here and stuff like that. And I'm in a dispute now at a website called Smirking Chip.
Where, right.
It's called Smirking Chip. It's a good website, also like Democratic Underground.
Right.
And there's a lot of people there discussing actually believing that Powell will leave. And what I'm trying to explain to them is he's not going to leave because Karl Rove is smart enough to know that he needs Powell politically. They need him politically. And if he goes, if Powell goes, I think that he will hurt Bush politically.
Well, I don't know. This is a toy and cost with Powell, and I'll tell you why I think it's a toy and cost. A coin toss, a coin toss with Powell, because Powell does have an element of self-respect that the neocons do not have. The neocons are murderous. Nothing, not their wives, not their children, not their parents, nothing stands in the way of their power. And Colin Powell, I remember during the last presidential cycle before they tapped too stupid to be president to run, Colin Powell's approach, and he said no, he enjoys being alive more than he would enjoy running for president because he understands America. He understands that a black man running for president would be assassinated quicker than you could say Jim Crow. And I think also Powell contains still an element of self-respect. I'm not defending Powell. I frankly would like to see him twist in the wind because he's the guy who sat there as U.S. Secretary of State and made those smarmy, phony appearances at the U.N. presenting fake evidence to and you know, he gave the impression of coming over to the side of the Hawks at the very end. So I, you know, whatever bad happens to Colin Powell politically, he's welcome to it. But I don't. But there's a good chance that Colin Powell may say screw this and leave. He can make a hell of a lot more money in the private sector. And why should he be there to catch the bullets that are intended, rhetorical bullets that are intended for George W. Bush?
Oh, in my opinion, Mike, I don't think Powell should have ever taken the job, given what happened. I can only position myself into how I would think if I were an African-American male, which is I would have not taken that kind of job, given what happened down in Jeb Bush's Florida fiefdom, as you call it.
Well, sure,
To African-American voters in the 2000 election.
But that's, I think
you know, that's, I couldn't I couldn't stomach that.
I know, and none of us can get inside Colin Powell's head, but maybe yeah. Colin Powell at one point at the beginning of this crime family enterprise, maybe he thought that he could be some sort of a moderating force on the Defense Policy Board and the neocons and the American Enterprise Institute that provides so much input, impetus, and bodies for the Bush crime family. But I think Powell has come to understand now that he's playing way out of his league. You've got to be a killer in order to play with killers, and I don't think Colin Powell's a killer. I think he's more of a desk jockey, and it's a toying cost. I think he may go. He may stay just to piss him off.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope. I'd rather you be right than me, Mike. I mean, I'd rather he go because I think it will hurt Bush politically. But let me tell you, just one last point here on this.
Sure.
Is I think that Karl Rove's thinking is this.
Hey, hold it right there. Karl Rove's thinking. I'm going to come back and pick you up right after the break.
Sure, okay.
Stay right there. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Time for another Gooberhead Award, presented periodically to people in the news who've got their tongues running 100 miles an hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today, I've got a rare double goober for you. He's Richard Perle, a right-wing ideologue who's one of the chief architects of George W.'s perpetual war policy. What a jewel this guy is. Perle was Bush's chairman of the Defense Policy Board, a highly influential collection of think tank wonks, former Pentagon officials, and corporate heavies. Unfortunately for Perle, though, he got caught using his high Bushite connections to do favors for Global Crossing, the telecommunications giant that wants to cut a deal with the Chinese, a deal that the Pentagon has opposed. Quote, "I am not using public office for private gain," grumped our goober when caught. But he was. Indeed, he was to be paid $725,000 to get his Bush pals to let Global Crossing do the deal. Just before the Pentagon announced that Perle was resigning as board chairman, a reporter called to ask him if he had been forced out. "If I had," he barked angrily, "you'd be the last person in the world I'd want to talk to." Then he slammed down the phone. Richard is a testy public servant, isn't he? Now he's back in the news for a second act of self-serving gooberishness. While he's no longer chairman, he still serves on the Defense Policy Board, and it turns out that all the while, he's also been on retainer to L'Oreal, Inc. This global technology maker has an ongoing case before the Pentagon involving U.S. rocket technology that it gave to the Chinese. Once again, Perle's job was to help make L'Oreal's Pentagon problems go away. but he still wants us to believe that he was not peddling his Bush connections for pay. Yet he admits that Loral was paying him, but he just won't say how much. This is Jim Hightower saying, why is this corrupt double goober still sitting on Bush's defense policy board?
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with Dennis in Alpharetta. All right, Dennis, go ahead.
What I was talking about was this is how Karl Rove sees Newt Gingrich. Whenever he sees Newt Gingrich up there, he thinks like he did of Trent Lott. He said, well, this guy lost us in the 2000 election when Bush ran against Gore. He lost us five Senate seats. Lott, he blames the five Senate seat on Lott. He said he's been losing Senate seats since he's been in charge, so, you know, he can go. I mean, it would be no loss. He sees Gingrich, and he also thinks loser. Gingrich failed to bring down Clinton. He had the 94 Republican revolution, but since that time had lost seats. I mean, Congress had lost seats a record. Republicans lost seats in Congress a record three times in a row when he was Speaker of the House. So, I mean, I just think he looks at Gingrich, and he's not, you know, I don't think he's going to really affect the way the political strategy of the White House is, and
but
I think that political strategy is to keep Colin Powell.
But that is the reason, if we want to pursue that line of thought, and I think you're onto something, but that's the reason that they, you know, why bring out Newt Gingrich now?
Yeah.
This is a battle between the neoconservatives and, say, the Carlyle Group, which one of my emailers emailed me just a second ago.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
Ask Bill Clinton who's the perfect foil.
And what would he say?
Newt Gingrich.
Well, yeah, but you know, once Gingrich is out of political life, which he is now, he's as Lyndon Johnson said about somebody, I forget who, it's better to have that old boy inside the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in. That's what Newt Gingrich is doing right now. He's outside the tent pissing in, and this is a warning to Karl Rove and George W. Bush and Pappy Bush and James Baker and the whole Carlyle group that there's more to what the neocons want than just an awful lot of profit in going around the world exploiting everybody else's resources and establishing American power. What they want is total domination. This is what these people are into. Remember, Newt Gingrich and Richard Perle and Elliot Abrams and Wolfowitz, these were the guys that had their asses kicked every single day in high school because they were such dweebs and morons. This is payback time, pal.
I think that's it. I think that is. I think that's why they, you know, pursue this ultra-macho.
Oh, they're crazy. These are guys who ran like scared rabbits when it came their turn to join the military. And like I said, you've seen these guys. I saw them in high school. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Punks, whiners, baby face, pasty face thugs that were just useless. Carried the pocket protectors and the slide rules when I was in high school, still slide rules, and they got their asses kicked every single day. This is payback time.
All right. Well, look, we'll talk to you later. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to express.
You bet. Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for checking in, pal. Of course that's what they were. Ted emailed in an interesting point. He said, I wonder if Colin Powell is compromised with extortion. What dirt can they use against him, such as the My Lai cover-up? Remember how a few months after Bob Kerry went public with Bush deserting the National Guard, all the CIA dirt about his role in Operation Phoenix came out in Vietnam? You remember? Remember the story on Bob Kerry? And for the next month, there was no war going on, and Clinton was out of office, and no children were kidnapped, and no sharks. So they went after Bob Kerry every single day. Do you remember that? Articles were written, television interviews. You had guys who'd been in Vietnam with Kerry, guys who had not been in Vietnam at all, but other military. You had the whole story. And when did that come out on Kerry about Vietnam? It came out after he had said Bush was a deserter. So here's Colin Powell. And if you know any of your Vietnam history where it concerns Colin Powell, you know at the time I think he was a major, and he specifically and deliberately and consciously covered up the My Lai incident until, who was it, Seymour Hersh reported on it for the New York Times? Eh? So maybe that's what they have on Colin Powell. Look, Colin, get back in line, boy, or we bring up My Lai.
I'm nothing but a fool. Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
I love my Negroes. I love them.
You've supported her through every accomplishment in her life.
Cross, pull, I tied my shoes.
While your ultimate goal is to teach her to stand on her own.
Let go, I can do it.
There are things she just can't do without your support.
There were drugs and alcohol at the party.
Talk with the teens in your life. And if they're in substance abuse treatment and recovery, support them. Help them turn the hardest thing they've ever done into their greatest accomplishment. For information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Now for something completely different.
The Mike Malloy Show. Weekdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
A desert beetle pulls water out of the air and people can copy its tricks. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The Namib Desert on the southwest coast of Africa is one of the driest places on Earth. The only reliable source of moisture is a morning fog that rolls in from the Atlantic Ocean. But this fog blows across the desert and disappears before any moisture settles out. Most creatures in the Namib Desert can't do much with the morning mist, but one small black beetle knows how to use it to quench its thirst. Andrew Parker is a zoologist at the University of Oxford in England, and he recently wrote an article in the journal Nature about the Stenocara beetle. Parker says its accomplishment is part engineering, part gymnastics. The beetle has to stand upside down to catch the fog.
The desert fogs arrive early in the morning, and the beetles move up to the top of a dune, and they do basically a handstand. So they stand there with their bum up in the air and their head down, so that they present their upper surface to the fog.
Within moments, water droplets start to form on the beetles, and they run down their backs and right into their mouths. Parker says the beetles have managed to solve a difficult engineering problem. Water droplets in fog are tiny and easily blown away by the wind. The challenge is to pull enough of them together to form a large drop of water that will stay together. Parker says the Namib Desert beetle has bumps on its back that look something like tiny glass beads set into a waxy surface. Parker says it's the combination that's so effective. The waxy areas repel water, and the glassy parts trap it. Parker says people could copy this design onto large sheets of material that would let them use the beetle's technique to trap the fogs that are common around the world in deserts that are close to the coast. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Got a couple open lines here, so join us. John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Thought you could get rid of me, didn't you?
Never.
Well, Mike, a couple of things. First of all, and that little satire that you had earlier about the 10 things.
Oh, yeah, 10 things to do to support the troops.
Yeah, well, you know, it would have been funny except for one thing. There's millions and millions of idiots out there that would be or shaking their heads going, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But that, of course, was designed for people who haven't had their brains completely purged of all abilities to think rationally. That would be...
I know that. The other thing, well, two things. First of all, we have been screwed, wooed, and tattooed, the American people, and they don't have sense enough to realize it. When the next election comes, even if there is a next election, our chances, I'd say, are the people who would like to see things change for the better of that happening is just about zero to none because of these new voting machines. Unless something is done to change that situation, there's no way we can get a fair vote.
Yeah, there's that, and there's also, as a matter of fact, that's the next topic I would bring up. Bush is going to use the deaths of 3,000 Americans to get himself reelected, and he's going to use fear and terror and $200 million. I said it before, and every time I say it, you know, I get the emails from people that tell me I'm crazy because it sounds like I'm just totally dissing the Democrats. But the Democrats have identified themselves now through the past two election cycles as being nothing but Republican light. Now, I say that with this caveat. If there is a Democrat, if it's Howard Dean, if it's Dennis Kucinich, whoever it is, that presents himself or herself, if there's a woman out there, so far I haven't seen any, but if there's a Democratic presidential candidate that presents himself as a Democrat, then I will bend over backwards to work for that person's election. But but that means somebody that has to get the nomination. And as long as the Democratic Party is in the hands of Terry McAuliffe and the Democratic Leadership Conference, the Democratic Party is going nowhere except down the tubes.
One thing before I go. If Colin Powell hits the bricks, can Condoleezza Rice be far behind?
Well, she's quieter. She stays in the background.
She's black.
Well, that's true, but she's a whisperer. She whispers into George Bush's ear.
And very dangerous.
And she goes on the television talk shows. And even though Republicans loathe people of color, and they also loathe women, except in their proper positions, Condoleezza Rice gives them a twofer. They can say, see, we had to get rid of Colin Powell, maybe, because he's an uppity black person. But we're keeping Condoleezza Rice because, after all, she is a woman, and we still have hopes of getting the female or the black vote. So they've got a twofer in Condoleezza. Powell has become a liability because now the neocons are taking shots at Powell when they're really the shot. Are aimed at George W. Bush. So I don't know about Condoleezza. I think she'll be around for as long as she wants to be around. But again, a lot of these people leave after one swing through the golden arches because they know they can make a fortune in the defense industry. They can make a fortune as a consultant. They can make a fortune as a lobbyist. So I would look for Condoleezza to leave at the end of the Bush crime family's first 4 years.
Well, in closing, I will say this. The future for us is not very bright.
Well, you know, politics has a strange way of, just when you least expect it, leaping up and biting you on the ass. It may happen. It may come to the point that the American public comes out of the coma and tosses this gang of monsters out of office and elects a Democrat. I'll be surprised if I see that, but stranger things have happened. Thanks, John.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Now, speaking of 2004, I don't know if you saw this in the Times today. Bush's advisors have drafted a reelection strategy built around staging the latest nominating convention in the Republican Party's history, which will allow George Bush to begin his formal campaign very close to the third anniversary of the September 11 attacks on this country. It also allows him, by scheduling the Republican convention the last day of August, it allows Bush to continue his fundraising advantage. Now, this the Times had this article today, and they quote unnamed Republican sources close to the White House. So you take this for whatever it's worth. In addition to launching his bid for reelection on the corpses of 3,000 people in this country who were slaughtered by the mass murderers who attacked us on September 11, 2001. In addition to doing that, I mean, doesn't that make your skin crawl? I mean, when you think about that, yeah? In addition to that, the Bush crime family is ready to spend as much as $200 million, twice the amount that they spent stealing the presidency in 2000. $200 million. Now, what's it going to be used for? Well, of course, to finance television advertising and other campaign expenses through the primary season that leads up to the Republican convention, which I believe begins in either August 30th or the 1st of September 2004. Now, that's going to be a record amount by a presidential candidate. And it's especially notable because George faces no opposition for his party's nomination. This $200 million is going to be used by the Republican Party to further confuse the American public, to further destroy the political system in this country, to further convince the American public that George W. Bush loves you. Now, the way it's timed, he will make his acceptance speech at the Republican convention on September 2nd. 3 days into the convention, George will come out talking about his victory in the war on terrorism. Nobody's going to say Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein. George will be up there declaring his victory. And not only will the $200 million be spent, but then he will make his little pilgrimage over to the site of the World Trade Center towers. And with no shame, with no restrictions, he will stand there on the memories of 3,000 dead Americans and foreign nationals, and he'll make his pitch. And because we are Americans, we will sit there with the flags waving in the background and the patriotic music, and there's old George. God love him. Oh, look, Maud. George, oh, God, don't you? Well, you know, I used to be a Democrat, but you just got to love him. You know, he's done so much for the country. He stopped terrorism, and he's got the Department of Homeland Security, and he went after Saddam Hussein after Saddam Hussein sent all those terrorists over here to bomb the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and crash into a field in Pennsylvania, didn't he? I mean, he did all that. Yeah, well, what the hell? Now, the convention is going to be held in New York City. No coincidence there. It'll be the latest convention since the Republican Party was founded in 1856. Is that coincidence? Does Karl Rove do anything that is coincidence? Bush's advisors, speaking on condition of anonymity, said they chose the date, September 2nd, so the event, Bush's renomination, would flow into the commemorations of the third anniversary of the mass murder in this country. According to the Times, the back-to-back events, Bush accepting the nomination and then going to the hallowed ground, will complete the framework for a general election campaign that is being built around national security and our illustrious leader's role in combating terrorism. Yes. Oh, and not incidentally, the Republican strategist said they hoped it would deprive the Democratic nominee of critical news coverage during the opening weeks of the general election campaign. The strategy, according to the New York Times, described by Republicans close to the White House, is intended to highlight what Mr. Bush's advisors want to be the main issue of his reelection campaign, national security. There are terrorist cells all over. George Bush is protecting you. There's all kinds of Arabs sneaking around the streets of Detroit and Atlanta, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Houston, New York, Chicago. But George Bush has them in his scope. And by scheduling the start of the convention for August 30th, a month after Democrats choose their hapless candidate, The Bush White House has put off the imposition of spending ceilings that take effect when the parties officially nominate their candidates. So it's a twofer, another twofer for Karl Rove. He gets to shamelessly use the corpses of 3,000 dead Americans and foreign nationals, and he gets to keep the flow of campaign money coming for a couple of months longer than you might have expected. You see, under campaign spending laws, you know, campaign finance reform, McCain-Feingold, right? Candidates who accept public financing will have about $75 million to spend between the nominating conventions and Election Day. And because the Democrats scheduled their convention for late July, the Democrat Party candidate will have to stretch out the same allocation over a longer period. And, of course, both parties are expected to accept public financing. Karl Rove is a genius. We Americans are stupider than dog droppings.
Bush's political team is preparing to begin broadcasting television advertisements as early as next spring. By that point, the White House expects the Democratic candidate to be settled, but battered and sapped of money from the primaries and thus unable to counter a Republican advertising assault.
Exploiting the trauma of September 11th that was perpetrated against this country, that's business as usual for the Republicans. There is nothing they won't stand on, piss on, destroy, trivialize. Nothing. Bush's advisors said they remain worried by the country's persistent economic weakness.
But hey, that'll all be trumped and washed aside by the flags waving and the drums pounding and the horns blaring and Bush surrounding himself with combat veterans from Iraq, too. Indeed. And there he stands with his hard hat and his bullhorn. I am George W. Bush. I am your president. I fought terrorism. I brought down the ugly Saddam who sent all these bombers to hit the Trade Center and the Pentagon.
Now, behind the scenes, the Bush crime family has been assembling the framework for this 2004 campaign. They have set fundraising targets. Any Republican member of Congress who doesn't raise a certain amount of money and kick in enough money to the capo di tutti capos will find himself out of office. They have set these fundraising targets. They have made personnel decisions. They have made calculations of the presidential campaign's ideological and geographic contours to try to turn Bush's incumbency to his advantage at every opportunity. So, for the next 18 months, look for our illustrious leader to make explicitly political appearances, which will be limited almost exclusively to fundraisers and important political states like New Hampshire. Already, the president's travel schedule is emphasizing states that will prove pivotal in the 2004 election. He went to Missouri last week to tell all those workers at Boeing, hey, I'm going to create 1.4 million jobs, but you suckers are going to be laid off. He's heading for Ohio this week. And since those trips are presented as official White House travel, Mr. Bush's reelection campaign doesn't have to pay for him. Eh?
The White House has made clear that our illustrious leader will not provide an easy opening for Democrats by neglecting a domestic agenda, because he now will move to draw on his political strength as the leader of the nation during a time of war
to advance his domestic record, which means more tax cuts for the wealthy. Because, after all, that's how jobs are created. Look at the first 3 years of his presidency. Not one single job has been created, but he has cost this economy 2 million jobs. But we're so stupid, we Americans, we don't pay any attention to that.
George Bush defeated the evil Saddam! He's my leader. Why, he went to a fighter jet production factory last week to pitch his tax cut. He's going to go to a tank factory in Ohio this week to pitch his tax cut. I love him. He's my leader. Thank you, God, for giving me George Bush.
And even as too stupid to be a president remains silent, the Republican National Committee, oh, they've been working hard. They have methodically distributed information intended to discredit his possible challengers. They have set up a full-fledged oppositional research effort into everybody's background. For example, when the Democrat that many of Mr. Bush's advisors see as the most likely to win the nomination, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, said in New Hampshire that it was time for a regime change in the United States, Republican organizations orchestrated attacks on Mr. Kerry that forced Senator Kerry to explain his remarks for a week. George Bush loves you. George Bush just wants to continue his exemplary record as the leader of the free world.
We'll give the country a push. Put us back on the road to what's right and true. George W. Bush is going to give us a push.
He's
the man who'll do what's right for me and you. He's the man who'll do what's right for me and you.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
It's all.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre style. Through the streets, just doing my thing.
What?
The Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all. Brush your Twix.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steph and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Kurt is calling from Coshocton, Ohio. Hey, Kurt.
Oh, wow. I feel like I've been holding my hand in the air for an hour and a half.
I'm sorry. I get on some of those rants, and, you know, it's just, an object tends to remain in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. So thank God you were there.
Well, I couldn't wrestle the phone away from my wife earlier, you know, when you're talking about the environment.
Yeah.
I happen to live in, like, one of the top 10 most polluted counties in the state of Ohio, which is like 88 counties, you know.
Yeah, and Ohio happens to be the most polluted state in the union. I didn't know. I'm from Toledo. I have relatives in Ohio, and truly, Ohio is the. You wouldn't think it'd be Ohio, but it is.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. This economic plan that they want to pitch, you know, with the they got these commercials about clean burning coal.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a high sulfur plant. AEP is a very large plant.
Right.
And I live within 15 miles. I see this yellow spew every day, especially on a nice clear day. It's so beautiful. And then you get this string of crab going across the sky. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and during the Clinton administration, a deal was worked out to that those coal companies had to spend the money and upgrade and get the scrubbers in place to eliminate that sort of filth pouring into the air to kill people, especially children. And as soon as the Bush crime family took over, they reinterpreted the law passed during the Clinton era and said, well, come on, Clinton, would you know, Monica Lewinsky,
There's nothing beneath this collection of vultures, I'll tell you. You know, you were talking about Ohio earlier and Bush coming out here. He's coming out Thursday, and I got a few numbers here. Bush is scheduled to visit Camden, Lima, Ohio, smoke. His economic record.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remind you that according to the latest Bureau of Labor Statistics data, Ohio has lost 167,800 jobs.
That's not going to stop Bush from showing up talking about how he's going to create 1.4 million new jobs. 1.4 million. That's the new number. 1.4 million. We're going to do it. Ohioans, Ohio traditionally is a Republican state. They'll sit there in Lima, Ohio, and listen to him say, oh, yeah, well, he stopped terrorism, so let's vote for him.
You know, that's more than 3% of the total workforce.
Yeah.
Since Bush was sworn in, more specifically, the Canton metropolitan area has lost 6,300 jobs, 3.43% of the workforce, and Lima area has lost 2,500 jobs, 3.18% of the workforce since Bush took office.
Kurt.
And you know what, Mike? Hey, there's an old saying, don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. What in the world is this group up to?
Kurt, there you go with facts and truth and statistics that has no place in Bush's America. I'm sorry. Thanks for checking.
You're doing a great job. You seem to love the nighttime, but you're killing me.
I hear that. Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Take care. Quick break here. We'll be back. The number is 800-825-5937. We're going to talk about Rick Santorum and the Queers coming back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The U.S. continues to press the U.N. Security Council to fully lift economic sanctions against Iraq. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer says there's no longer any reason for sanctions.
Why should any nation support imposing sanctions on the Iraqi people now? Sanctions equal Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein is gone. It is wrong now to leave sanctions on the people of Iraq. They don't deserve it.
Surprisingly, one of the biggest critics of the war, France, came out in support of the U.S. position on sanctions, but other skeptical countries such as Germany are considering using sanctions as leverage to ensure a strong U.N. role in the reconstruction of Iraq. International arms inspectors have the best hope of finding Iraq's alleged banned weapons. That's the word today from Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix.
We may not be the only ones in the world who have credibility, but I think we do have credibility for being objective and independent.
Speaking to reporters at the UN, Blix blasted the Bush administration for what he referred to as an attempt to undermine his inspection team by claiming they withheld information from the 15-member Security Council about an Iraqi drone. Blix has insisted that it was not the case, adding that it was a bit unfair and it hurt us.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read your bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Scott Peterson walked several laps in an exercise area at the Stanislaus County, California jail this morning, one day after he pleaded not guilty to killing his wife Lacey and their unborn son. For his safety, Peterson's being kept in isolation in the jail because other prisoners have allegedly made threats against him. Prosecutors say they will ask a judge to hold Peterson without bail, and they say it could be a couple of years before the trial will conclude. Peterson dropped his attorney, saying he doesn't have enough money. He has asked for a public defender. About a dozen activists blasted the Bush administration in Washington, D.C. today for what they say is a terrible track record regarding the environment. Citing everything from clean air and water to wilderness protection, they claim the Bush administration favors big corporations over environmental protections. Gene Karpinski of the Public Interest Research Group explains.
It's time to tell the Bush administration to stop letting big corporations rewrite and weaken our environmental laws. They're polluting our air and our water. They're making taxpayers, not polluters, clean up our toxic waste. They're chopping down our national forests and destroying our public lands.
Some of the groups represented at today's event included the Sierra Club, Wilderness Society, and the League of Conservation Voters. It was held as the nation celebrates Earth Day.
Mom,
Dad, someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Janitors were singing the blues today at a rally at the Blue Cross Blue Shield building in Washington. Valerie Long with the local chapter of Janitors for Justice says workers who clean that building do not have health insurance.
It's ironic that the Blue Cross Blue Shield building, those workers don't have health care. It's just like one of those ironies here that we want to make sure that comes to the public attention.
The labor union is in talks to extend workers' hours and provide health insurance as well as raise the hourly wage. Long says the current labor contract is due to expire April 30th and negotiations will continue right up to the deadline. She says while she hopes a strike can be averted, picketers are committed to aggressive demonstrations if a deal cannot be hammered out. Some positive reports on earnings sparked a rally on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 158 points to 84.87. The S&P 500 climbed 19 points to 9.11. The NASDAQ jumped 27 points to 14.51. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, Truth Seeker. Seven past the hour. So Rick Santorum, Pennsylvania Republican senator, made a comment to the Associated Press the other day comparing homosexuality, which is a God-given sexual orientation. He compared it to, and even if it isn't, what the hell business is it of Rick Santorum's? He compared it to bigamy, adultery, and incest. Well, these Republicans, huh? Go after the black folk, go after the gays, go after the Hispanics, go after the Arabs, huh? And this is the party that contains a group called the Log Cabin Republicans. Don't the Log Cabin Republicans feel like morons at this point, wouldn't you think? Incest, bigamy, adultery. Santorum was adding his two cents to an upcoming decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on the constitutionality of anti-gay sex laws. Now, why are they anti-gay? Well, I'll tell you why. There was a case here in Georgia, Bowers versus I forget whom. Case where the police walked in without a warrant to a man's apartment, and he was having sex with his lover, who happened to be another man. And the case wound up, they immediately charged him under Georgia's anti-sodomy laws. Don't you love that word? Sodomy! Why don't they call it Gomorrah-y? Sodomy! Here are two people engaged in the most private act two human beings can engage in. And the police busted him. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Americans did not have a right to privacy where it concerned sexual acts between people of the same sex. So that's what Santorum is referring to. And there's another case, I believe it comes out of Texas now, where the right to privacy is being challenged yet again. And referring to the Supreme Court regarding this hearing, Santorum told the Associated Press, if the Supreme Court, quote, if the Supreme Court says that you have the right to consensual sex within your home, then you have the right to bigamy. You have the right to polygamy. You have the right to incest. You have the right to adultery. You have the right to anything. Listen to this sick bastard, okay? He then said, all of those things are antithetical to a healthy, stable, traditional family. And that's sort of where we are in today's world, unfortunately. It all comes from, I would argue, this right to privacy that doesn't exist in the United States Constitution. Well, Rick, you know, you're absolutely right. There is no explicit right to privacy. But when the framers put together the Constitution of the United States, they saw it as a living organism, something that would change. You know, we don't use flintlocks anymore, you moron. And black folk are no longer considered to be three-fifths of a human being, you jackass. And women have the right to vote, you freak. None of that's in the Constitution either, is it, Rick? Incest. Bigamy. Adultery. Polygamy. Log Cabin Republicans, a gay political group, immediately condemned Santorum's comments. The executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans, Patrick Guerrero, said there is nothing conservative about allowing law enforcement officials to enter the home of any American and arrest them for simply being gay. Guerrero went on to say, I am appalled that a member of the United States Senate leadership would advocate dividing Americans with ugly, hate-filled rhetoric. Well, one correction, Patrick. It is not. You left out a word. Republican. A United States Senate Republican leader. Republican, Patrick. What the hell are log cabin Republicans? Is there a gay man or woman in this country that thinks the Republican Party is where they belong politically? You know, just like the case with Colin Powell, you Republicans who happen to be gay? Are you crazy? Are you out of your minds? And now you're going to rear up on your hind legs and whine because Republicans are now targeting you? They always have. But Rick Santorum comes, pardon the expression, out of the closet and says homosexual men and women are like incest, bigamy, adultery, polygamy, kleptomania. Who was that? Jesse Helms that referred to homosexual men and women as kleptomaniacs? Now, Rick Santorum is the Republican Party's conference chairman. That is the third highest rank in the Republican Party leadership. Incest, bigamy. God created people in a certain way, if you believe that nonsense. If you want to believe the great ghost spirit in the sky and the talking snake theory of creation, okay, have at it. But you cannot then deny that God is the one who determines what your sexual orientation is. Who else could it be?
Well, it's those working women. That's who it is, if they'd stay home. No, it's not the working women. It's those weaselly fathers who don't take their boys out to play football.
Isn't it God who creates someone's sexual orientation? Yeah. In the nonpartisan gay rights group Human Rights Campaign, it was pointed out in a press release that Rick Santorum's remarks mark the second time in recent months that a Republican leader has made what Human Rights Campaign calls comments marginalizing or attacking an entire segment of the population. You remember Trent Lott, don't you? You remember? The guy with the sprayed down hair, smarmy smile, half-educated freak from Mississippi. Remember him? The Senate Majority Leader? You remember, don't you, Trent Lott? Say it after me. Trent Lott. You remember that guy, don't you? Now, when Trent Lott made his remarks supporting segregation and how much better this country would have been if that old fart from South Carolina had been elected president, Strom Thurmond, back there in 1948, George Bush came out and said, "We must continue our advance toward full equality for every citizen, which demands the guarantee for civil rights for all. Except the queers. I don't like the queers either." John Partain, who is president of the Pennsylvania chapter of the Log Cabin Republicans, said, "The discriminatory remarks made by Senator Santorum clearly do not reflect the compassionate conservatism promised by our president." Oh, my God. You got to stop smoking whatever you're smoking, John Partain, if you really believe that the compassionate conservative comments made by our illustrious leader had any basis in reality whatsoever. John Partain, the president of the Pennsylvania chapter of Log Cabin Republicans, said, quote, "I thought we were past these types of remarks now that Jesse Helms is no longer in the Senate." He went on to say, "Senator Santorum's remarks are deeply hurtful and play on deep-seated fears that fly in the face of scientific evidence, common sense, and basic decency, yada, 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 yada." And the political director of the Washington-based Human Rights Campaign said, "Clearly, there is no compassion in his conservatism. Discriminatory remarks like this fuel prejudice that can lead to violence and other harms against the gay community. Human Rights Campaign is calling on Republican leaders to take quick and decisive action to repudiate Senator Santorum's remarks and on Republican leadership to demonstrate that tolerance and civil rights are important to them, not simply something that is politically expedient." Rick Santorum. Now, never one to miss an opportunity to state the old Democratic Party's position. The Democratic National Committee issued a statement on Senator Santorum's comments, and here it is. "In what's becoming a weekly pattern, yet another Republican member of Congress has insulted an entire group of Americans. Senator Santorum should immediately apologize for his remarks. And we'll wait and see if the Republican Party remains silent on this, as they did when Representative Cuban made racially offensive remarks on the House floor." Well, that's going to have a profound effect on Republican politicians, right? I can just see them, can't you? They're falling all over themselves to get to microphones to say, "Well, you know, Rick doesn't express my view. I like queer people. I love them." The chair of the Democratic National Committee's Gay and Lesbian American Caucus agreed with the statement released by the DNC. His name is Jeff Soriff, and he said, "Senator Santorum's statement about lesbian, gay, bi, and transgendered Americans demonstrates an incredible level of ignorance and intolerance that is simply not acceptable. The United States has held itself out to be a champion for human rights and civil rights around the world, but clearly we still have a problem. If the third-ranking member of the majority in the U.S. Senate makes this kind of statement and refuses to apologize, President Bush and the entire Republican leadership need to respond swiftly to Senator Santorum's statement and make it clear that his statement does not reflect the opinions of the Bush administration and the Republican Party." Don't you love this nonsense? Ari Fleischer, at the press briefing today on Rick Santorum's anti-gay comments, answering Ron Fournier, the chief correspondent, political correspondent for the Associated Press, and others about George W. Bush's opinion of Rick Santorum's remarks.
Senator Santorum said the other day, talking about landmark gay rights legislation, quoted, "The Supreme Court says that you have the right to consensual sex within your home, that you have the right to bigamy, you have the right to polygamy, you have the right to incest, you have the right to adultery, you have the right to anything." Does the White House agree with those views?
One, I have not seen the entire context of the interview, and two, I haven't talked to the president about it, so I really don't have anything to offer beyond that.
Unique context?
I haven't talked to the president about it. I haven't talked to Senator Santorum, so I
don't have anything to say.
So the White House is satisfied to just let those words fly through the air?
I just don't have anything more on it.
If you were unaware that he said that?
I've been a little busy focusing on other activities and events that I haven't talked to the president about.
So, see, Ari Fleischer needs context. You know, when somebody makes a statement like that, like Rick Santorum did, well, gay people, they're just like people that have sex with their brothers or sisters. That's what that's about. And Ari Fleischer can't respond to that. Well, I haven't seen Senator Santorum's statement, and, you know, I haven't seen the context. And, you know, the President Bush has been busy killing Iraqis, so, you know, we don't have anything to say right now. I don't know. What do I know? I have no idea. You know, I'm Ari Fleischer. I have no idea, you know. And next thing you know, you're going to ask me if I'm queer. I don't know. You know, what do I know? Rick Santorum doesn't figure it out.
You want the loving times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right. Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly three-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams.
People who walk across the street to a neighbor and say, I'd like to just love you for a second. I'd just like to love you for a second. Rick Santorum doesn't see that way unless it's a man and a woman, or a woman and a man, or a man and his dog, or a woman and her kid. But, you know, a man and a man, a woman and a woman, hey, that's incest. That's pedophilia. That's pornography. That's ugly. Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about the log cabin Republicans. All of a sudden they would feel stupid. I mean, wouldn't they feel stupid every day of their stupid damn lives? I mean, being gay, what, Republicans?
I've never been able to figure that out. Like I've never been able to figure out Jews for Jesus either. You know, I know both organizations exist, but I don't get it. I just don't get it. Log cabin Republicans, gay men and women who claim to adhere to Republican part. Look, at the very least, they should be libertarians, but Republicans.
Yeah, that's right.
Republicans who will stomp on them, who will use them as examples of how we're all going to go to hell unless the gays get God and get straight.
Yeah, and, you know, as far as Rick Santorum, you know, his fascist twit record, you know, goes back quite a ways.
He is a cutie, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, eight years ago he was one of these fascist twits in the Senate who went after Mark Hatfield of Oregon because Mark Hatfield voted against the balanced budget amendment, and the Republicans like Rick Santorum basically forced Mark Hatfield in retirement, one of the last decent Republicans, the last one I voted for. And, you know, what would you expect from an idiot like Rick Santorum? I don't know, something strange going on with the people in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but you have to admit that Rick Santorum is awfully damn cute, isn't he?
Well, I never noticed that kind of thing. But, you know, in a way, Rick Santorum is right. You're going to allow gays to have sex with each other, then you got to allow pedophilia, you got to allow incest, you got to allow Rick Santorum to have sex with barnyard animals. I mean, you got to allow it all, Mike.
Yeah, but you have to admit he's awfully damn cute.
Well, I would notice. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate your call. Oh, he is. Ooh, Rick. Rick. Well, tell me he's not. Of course he's cute. I think he's very cute. You know, what usually happens with some of these cute boys, these cute straight boys, when they get hit on, you know, they're out someplace, and just a mild hit, all of a sudden it really gets to them because it touches something deep inside them. They get hit on by another man, and after the first rush of revulsion kind of dissipates, they connect to something deep inside them that says, and immediately, well, those damn queers, that's incest, that's pedophilia, that's doing it with a rhubarb stalk. Always happens that way, doesn't it? Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mike. Welcome back to the Denizens of the Dark.
Thank you.
You know, you almost got me off on another tangent here on being an ancient history geek. And I'd like to welcome Rick Santorum to the Spartan army.
Yeah, he would have fit right in, so to speak.
You know, I remember a couple of weeks ago you were sharing the number of a goofy Massachusetts high school principal shutting down discussion of the war.
Right.
And I wanted to pass another one along to you if you don't care.
No, go ahead.
They're after Nick Joe Rahal here in West Virginia. He's our congressman
right
here in beautiful downtown Hills of Nowhere. And
can I get you to hold on for a second to tell us what the congressman did?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, hold on a second because we have another break here. We just have these at an alarming rate. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment. We have two open lines here. Come on, y'all. 800-TALK. Yes, not even midnight yet here in the East Coast. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. He is awfully cute, isn't he?
Love is all you need. All you need is love.
One way you can help is to find a child who needs somebody older in their life to say, I love you.
Love. This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
It's the 11th hour for 28,000 New York City apartment service workers. Service Employees Union Local 32BJ has given the green light to a strike just after midnight tonight if no new contract is reached with a consortium of apartment managers whose buildings house a million New York residents. Union spokesperson John Hamill says that with just hours to go before a strike deadline, the gap between labor and management remains wide. The union's also looking to preserve its health care benefits and wants improved security training for apartment workers. Hamill says he's hopeful a strike can be averted, but not optimistic.
We've got 8 strike headquarters set up where they're fully staffed. We've got the signs, we've got the will, we've got people are motivated and aggravated, and they're going to be out there.
Hamill says support for the strike was nearly unanimous in an authorization vote held earlier this month.
Business leaders in the Philippines are lobbying the government to pass legislation banning unions from striking for 10 years. With an unemployment rate nearing 11% and a surge in strike activity this year, members of the Federation of Filipino-Chinese Chamber of Commerce say they cannot in good faith expand business in the Philippines unless they're guaranteed a controversy-free labor environment. In exchange for a 10-year ban on strikes, the Chamber of Commerce pledges to create 3 million new jobs, but it refuses to guarantee a living wage for any of them.
About 4,000 Lockheed Martin workers remain off the job as a strike at a Fort Worth, Texas aircraft plant stretches into its second week. The strike has halted production of F-16 fighters and other military aircraft after workers rejected Lockheed's proposal to increase employees' contributions to the cost of prescription drugs. Members of Machinist Union District Lodge 776 say they're ready to return to the bargaining table at a moment's notice.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're talking with Robin in Victor, West Virginia, about one of the members of Congress there. Now, say the man's name again. What are they doing to him?
Well, his name is Nick Joe Rahal.
Rahal, that's right.
And he has the dubious distinction of being I speak in Republican terms,
right.
One of them Dirty A Rebs.
Oh, yeah.
He's Lebanese of extraction, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's taken a whole lot of PAC money from...
terrorist organizations.
Yeah. The same terrorist organizations that gave a lot of money to George Bush, i.e.
Well,
the Saudis.
Yeah, but it doesn't count if George Bush gets it.
Right, but they... The Foxhole news people have renamed him Jihad Joe.
Oh, my God.
Because he had the audacity to visit Iraq and actually see the little babies before we blew them up.
Yeah, yeah. He was one of the members of Congress that made a trip there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
We've got a crazy doctor who printed who dared to print his own email address in a letter to the editor in the local Beckley, West Virginia paper today.
Yeah.
His name's Dr. Williams, I do believe, and his email address is...
You want to give this?
Yeah, I really want to... He gave it. I didn't give it.
Oh, okay.
His email address is docwscui. docwscui at charter.net, and he printed this in a letter to the editor in the Beckley paper today, inviting Senator Byrd and Mr. Rahal,
mm-hmm,
and a couple of other people to please contact him so that he could straighten them out as to the first thing he said is he wanted to ship them to the Middle East country of his choice.
Which probably wouldn't be Israel.
I'm guessing not.
Right.
So that he could straighten them out as to how to respect the president.
Uh-huh. Now, what's his email again?
His email again, you got to understand, you know how they throw a hyphen in at the end of a column inch?
Yeah.
There's a question here. There was a hyphen. It was docws-cui@charter.net.
Okay.
So the hyphen may or may not be real.
Well, usually if they publish an email address, they try to get all the characters right. So let's...
Yeah, well, welcome to West Virginia.
but it's your newspaper, pal.
It ain't my newspaper.
Okay, it's the newspaper.
Well, you're even stretching it there, Mike.
Okay, it's a newspaper.
You're still working it.
Okay, you win.
We've got a stack of them by the outside toilet.
I hear that. Yeah, we have those here in Georgia too.
He wants to straighten up Robert C. Byrd.
He couldn't hold Robert Byrd's now retired, I'm sure, jockstrap.
Amen, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, it's
the only thing he could do would be to give Zig Heil lessons. But I would like to see this man worn out with email. He says he's a former captain in the United States Army and a practicing physician.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, we just got over a legislative session here in West Virginia, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And what they managed to do was put a cap on at the insistent screaming and screeching and caterwauling of the doctors. We put a cap on the damages that a human being can receive for being butchered.
Well, there's a lot of that going around. I have nothing inherently against doctors, but, you know, fair is fair. If you go in to have a wart removed and they remove one of your testicles, I think that's worth more than $250,000, wouldn't you?
Well, absolutely. And the thing you got to remember, Mike, is that...
Okay, if they remove one of your... You know, I didn't mean to be sexist there.
Well, no.
If they remove an ovary, how's that?
No. Okay. Trust me, I don't have any of those.
Well, right.
But... There's something more at work here than that, and that is that, you know, this guy didn't say, I'm a doctor and therefore I feel this way. He said, I'm a former captain in the military.
Yeah, well, a lot of
I would just like to gently remind these people that I have spent no small amount of time studying the Constitution of these United States.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to remind these militaristic weirdos that my rights as an American have never been cited in any official document as flowing from the military.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
They flow from the Constitution.
But these people, see, they've been given permission to adopt this cloak of militarism. You know, this guy, if he was a doctor in the military, he probably, I don't know, he probably served at Walter Reed Hospital or something. But
I'm guessing he wasn't a doctor in the military. He's a doctor who happened to enjoy shooting M16s on the weekend.
Yeah, that part of a militia group or something. But they've been given permission now by the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, by Fox News Channel, and by the war-crazed, bloodthirsty neocons that run this country now to make those kinds of comments. In a gentler time in this country, comments like that would be laughed off the letters to the editor page, or they wouldn't be published at all.
But, you know, I thank God for people like Nick Rahal.
Yeah.
And Bob Byrd. You know, and every time you get into an argument with a neocon about Bob Byrd, they say, well, you know, he's in the Klan.
Well, I guess he was 70
well,
years
he
ago.
He was 50 right. freaking years ago.
Right.
You got to go 50 years back to find Bob Byrd in the Klan. But you got to go 2 weeks ago to find Trent Lott in it.
That's very true. Well, Robin, I hope all this works out. You want to give that email address one more time?
Oh, could I really?
Sure, mind? Sure. Go ahead.
This Gomer's address is DOCWS, possibly with a hyphen, then CUI at charter.net. And I would encourage everybody who cherishes their freedom and believes that their constitutional rights flow not from the military, but from that silly little pamphlet that George Washington helped author.
Yeah.
To give that guy a little note.
Well, maybe somebody will send him emails congratulating him on his readily apparent patriotism and belief in the Constitution and all that sort of stuff. And then again, maybe people will email him and call him the rat bastard that he really is. So let's see.
Or
what
just
happens.
Offer him a friendly Sieg Heil.
There you go. Thanks, Robin.
Hey, peace to you, Mike.
All right, man. Appreciate you checking in. Oh, my goodness. Nancy is calling from East Tennessee. Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Mike.
The reason I said, oh, my goodness, believe this or not, we have been on the nighttime show now for exactly 5 hours and 40 minutes, and you are the first woman to call the program.
Really?
Thank you. I was beginning to wonder, what was it, something I said that all the women callers that we used to have just said, well, to hell with him? Thank you.
We're just listeners.
Well, no, well, the not when we were on daytimes. Half our callers are women. But anyway, thank you. It's just pleasant to hear a woman's voice.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I've been listening for a while. I like this 9 to midnight. I have more time to listen.
There you go.
You know, that's good. I've been listening for a while, and I wanted to say something about voting. And then we'll get to the stupidity of Santorum.
Okay.
But, you know, a while back you were talking about voting and the 2004 election. And, you know, I in Tennessee, I voted on one of the touchscreen machines,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I tell you what, if somebody doesn't, like, just really make this an issue, and it should be now happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Terry McAuliffe ought to be out there jumping up and down screaming. There's all this information about how these came about and mm-hmm. who owns them. And
there's the website, blackboxvoting.com.
Exactly. There's all this information
right.
out there.
And you notice...
It ought to just scare the hell out of anybody, because when I voted on it, I walked away and I said to my husband, I said, you know, that was like an exercise in futility. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I voted or not. I just did not feel right about it.
Well, we did it here in Georgia, too. And
I didn't like it.
You get the damnedest feeling when you click the screen and push and touch, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you're
okay,
all finished.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for showing up. I think it's just, it's like a feel-good scam to make us believe that we still have elections.
You may be right.
You know, and mm-hmm. why the Democrats aren't screaming, I mean, those who have the mic... Those who have the voice, those people who are supposed to represent us,
mm-hmm.
you know, Terry McAuliffe. I mean, I have, I wonder if he is a Democrat. You know,
well, there used
one, every time I look at him, I feel like I need a shower.
There was a time,
you know,
there was a time in this country, Nancy, when we had two political parties. We all knew what the Democrats stood for, and they stood for the middle class, the working class, working people. They stood for equality and justice and fair play, and they were.
Well, we still have that party. We just don't have anybody in that party in Washington.
What party is that?
The Democrats. There's two Democrat parties.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, I'm one of those Democrats.
Yeah.
But nobody represents me in Washington. That's another kind of Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the DLC, the blue dog.
Yeah.
That's these people who want to be something other than a Democrat.
Now, talk to me about Rick Santorum.
Oh, well, this guy is just unbelievable, isn't he? But all of them are. I mean, it's like they're just totally incapable of staying out of her bedroom.
But, Nancy, you got to admit, he's awfully cute.
Oh, he is adorable.
Isn't he a cutie?
He's
pie?
A cutie.
Oh, ooh.
You know? Yeah, really. But, I mean, I have wondered for so long why anybody thinks that they can legislate what people do in private.
Well,
and why should they? Why are they even, you know, it's just like the abortion thing. Why is that a government problem? Why is the government involved in that? Why is the government involved in
Well, I have an answer for you. The Republican Party, realizing that 45% of Americans are Republican, 45% of Americans are Democrat, that's what it used to be, and the other 10% would go one way or the other, depending on the issues that the two parties put forward, the Republicans decided that that was not a very viable system. So they came up with what we now refer to as wedge issues. Mm-hmm. Abortion is one of those. The fact that abortion is politicized, or a human being's sexual orientation is politicized, or a person's color or religion or ethnic background is politicized. This is what this is part of the Southern strategy originally put together by Tricky Dick Nixon, and it has resulted resulted in this country being broken into a million pieces. And since this country is very much in favor of its particular prejudices, depending on whose turn it is in the barrel, it has worked for the Republican Party, and it is destroying the cohesiveness of this country. That's precisely the way I feel. That's how it came to pass. The mere idea of politicizing someone's sexual orientation or what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own lives is beyond belief. And I don't care if somebody is sexually oriented toward homosexuality or not. That's not the issue. Somebody who wants to have sex with another adult, I don't care if it's a man, a woman, or something in between. It's not the government's business. It is also not the government's business what a woman does with her body. So
exactly.
We can go on and on and on about this, but this is what the Republican Party is all about.
But why can a Santorum, why can one of these people say these unbelievable things?
Because we do not have a responsible media in this country anymore.
Well, that we owe. Oh, the media. I mean,
I just got you. I've got you ricocheting like a drop of water on a hot pancake griddle tonight, don't I, Nancy?
Oh, the media. I mean, what is that? It's government-controlled propaganda.
Well,
that's what we have in America today.
It's
not worth watching anymore. I can't watch it. I become violent. You know, we have three TVs in this house, and my husband says, please don't watch news. He's afraid I'm going to really hurt one of them.
I agree with what your husband says. I can't do it. Thank God I have a producer who does it for me.
Yeah.
Nancy, got a boogie. Listen, thank you so much. You were the first woman to call this program on the nighttime shift. I thank you very much.
Well,
and hopefully other women will call in.
Oh, well, good. I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, you take care. Joe is calling from Paris, Texas. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I got in.
There you go.
I've been out fishing, and I come in during the yawn, and you're talking about Bush.
There's a surprise, right?
I got in about 9 during the yawn, and you was talking about Bush, running around the country and stuff.
I know. You should.
I had plumb forgot about him down the river.
You should have stayed fishing, pal.
Yeah. I think he'll be reelected. I'm pretty. I don't know. I just don't think that. Hell, the man's got a 70% rating. I read it. Yeah, he said he got a 70% rating. I mean, my God, for a job approval. what has he done?
Now let me ask you something, Joe. Let me ask you something. What else you been doing tonight besides fishing, pal?
I ain't had a drink.
Hadn't had a drink all night. All right.
I ain't smoked. Smoking.
Smoking a little of that wacky tobacco, maybe?
No.
Just out fishing, huh?
Just out fishing.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know about the deal. The only thing I can say is that America, you know, we don't reserve. I don't guess we deserve Bush, you know.
Well, one thing.
I mean, I don't think the rest of the world does. They, you know, they got sense enough to know that they're stupid, and I mean, and I know everybody listening to your station does, but evidently, if the polls are right, there's a lot of dumb people out here in America, you know.
Well, I got a couple of emails because I mentioned that poll last night, and I got a couple of emails waiting for me when I came into work tonight, and it said, you know, there you go again, Malloy, believe in the polls. Don't believe the polls. I hope those people that tell me not to believe the polls are right. Hey, Joe, there's the music. Listen, go clean up that mess of fish, and I'll talk to you later. All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what discussing the mainstream media is important to you in these times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
So who put the snake in the garden?
Who put... Are you referring to the talking snake theory of...
I'm just referring to the whole mess.
Creation, all, yeah.
All together, just like the Moody Blues song, you know, it leaves me with so much to explain.
Right.
I'm like that all day long.
I hear that. Loud and clear, yes.
What the lady caller a while ago was talking about.
Nancy from East Tennessee.
She kind of got me focused a little bit. I'm an independent, you know, I'm pretty much a pro-life independent who ended up having to vote for Nader last time. But I don't know. I mean, you know, if I had my choice right now, I'd probably go for Kucinich, but I don't know. I mean, leave no child behind sounds kind of like kick any child behind. I don't know.
Yeah.
Considering where it came from originally.
You know, the problem we're going to have with Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich is going to be simply whether or not the Democratic Leadership Conference money will flow to these two candidates, especially during the primaries. And frankly, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, it's going to be Kerry, it's going to be Lieberman, a few bucks will probably go to Edwards. I don't know. There might be some money go to Al Sharpton. But the end result is going to be, as it usually is, I'm sorry to say, that the choices that voters like you and I are going to have, if we assume we're still voters, the choices are going to be predetermined before you and I ever get near a touch screen voting machine or a punch card or anything.
Yeah.
And it's stacked that way. It's done that way deliberately by both parties. They don't want debate, even amongst the candidates in each individual party. They don't want people to listen to what these people have to say. The determination is made for both parties at this point. Sorry, all my Democratic listeners, I'm sorry, but if you deny this, you're denying the truth.
Well, the primary might be my last vote, you know, unless I end up voting for Nader in the national, you know.
Well,
but it kind of looks like, you know, that's what's going to happen, just like how Governor Jerry Brown got booted out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He got booted out three times, you know, 76, 80 in 92, so.
That's a big boot. Hey, listen, Patrick, we're out of time, pal.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks for checking in, and hope to hear from you again. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Stephanie Stryker, and I haven't mentioned Jim in Arkansas lately. Many thanks to Jim in Arkansas, who is our music bureau chief, mainly for his continuing contributions to this program where it concerns the music. Thanks, Jim. Program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories being